Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Monday, April 13th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adioye Jr., and joining me is the TikTok superstar himself, Tim Geddes.
G is the superstar. I'm just there to help. I'm just there to lift her up where she belongs in TikTok superstardom.
Now, tell me about
household,
this.
The household over here has been a little bored.
Following all of y'all on Twitter has been an adventure, because I think it was last week that Cool Greg tweeted, Gia went up to him and was like, if you're in this house, you are TikToking, or something along those lines. Yeah. I can't remember the exact quote, but something along those lines. Something with something that has the spirit of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, I saw that you tweeted a TikTok from your TikTok account.
So there's some technicalities going on there. The point is, it's for Gia. The point is, it's on Gia's TikTok and everything, but my phone has a better camera. We're still new to learning how TikTok works. And apparently, if you record it with someone else's phone, you can't save it and like put your own name. And my name got watermarked. But if you notice, if you click the link on what I tweeted, it goes to her TikTok.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Because she's the one that actually posted it. I just recorded it.
Gotcha.
And it was fire. It was fire. Okay.
It was fire. And I'm appreciating, because I did come across one of Gia's older TikToks. My older, I mean, probably like a week or two like ago.
A week or two ago when
yeah,
she just gets these moments where she's like, she literally just like throws on a house meeting and she's like, everybody here, gather around. Today's TikTok day. We're doing this. And all of us are like, God damn it, mom. Like, we don't want to fucking do this weird thing.
What is the end goal? Is she trying to go viral? Or is this just like, hey, we're just having fun kind of thing?
She's just having fun with it. And it is fun until it's not. And she starts getting really bossy about it all. And then gets really stressed out when the perspective of the fucking wine glass isn't working. And it's 3 hours later. And we're sitting there like, I don't know if I'd rather Kevin be here or not. Because on one hand, he'd get it done faster. On the other hand, it wouldn't be as fast as I want it to be done. And it'd be a lot louder.
What do you want me to do?
No, you're good now.
Oh, okay. We figured it out. Kevin is like Beetlejuice, where if you just say his name, you don't have to say it three times. You say it once. Kevin's like, what do you need me for? What are you doing? What can I fix?
Remember in Beetlejuice, the ghost could do weird things like stretch.
Oh my god. Oh no. So, audio listeners, Kevin has obtained new powers.
Great.
He's figured out how to stretch, and so now we're gonna see his face in glorious.
Can I
stretch
how do I,
out?
How do I go
stretched
back to
out.
Normal. 360.
That's always there we go. There we go.
You hold shift to stretch, and for some reason, I just instinctively knew press control and click onto something to fix it. Crazy.
Kevin Coelho, thank you, Kevin. Ladies and gentlemen. Bless, Tim, I'm going through, before we get into all the game stuff, I want to say I'm going through a bit of an issue.
Oh,
I think my hair has finally hit a point that it is just untenable. Like, oh, I cannot style it how I like to style it. It's just too heavy. There's too much.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Tim, that looks pretty cool.
So I don't know.
I feel like you're halfway
I'm worried. Right
now. Tim, have you considered like just spraying what you have there?
What does that mean?
Spraying what you have there.
This little plume of hair that you have above your head.
Also,
spraying
Tim,
that. Just
are you
up.
Seeing Kevin right now?
Yeah.
Just spray it up. If you look at the screen at an angle, you can see me.
Oh, God. Man. Kevin is chaotic on a Monday. Are you too scared to give Gia the scissors? Just have her like hack at
it?
Yeah,
I am.
She's going to fuck it up.
But I think I have to. And I think that might go down tonight.
Wait, you know what you haven't done in a long time? And granted, I don't like it. So I'm actually against it. But I mean, let's have this conversation. Why not shave it off?
That's an option. I like my hair.
You got a weird
good
skull.
Things I have going for me, you know, and now it's kind of going too far.
Tim, me. How's your weekend?
It was a good weekend, man. We did the fucking TikToks and did that stuff. Been watching a lot of movies for in review and whatnot. So yeah, it's been fun, man. Who wants to be millionaires back on TV? I watched.
Wait,
that.
Is it really?
It is, man. A special season.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Jimmy Kimmel hosting it.
Is this like I'm guessing this is pre-recorded. It's not like a
no,
home.
No, it's they're going into the studio, but they're all 6 feet apart and there's no audience. And it's not weird, actually. It's pretty cool.
That's pretty dope. That actually sounds really cool. I didn't know that was happening. You playing any more of that Final Fantasy VII?
So here's my thing. I've popped back into, I'm so jealous that everyone else is getting to play this game for the first fucking time. And I know it was just a week ago that I got to, but now I'm like, oh, I want to be part of this. And like all my friends are fucking playing it and they're just like texting me nonstop and I'm so jealous. So I keep popping back in, but I made a pretty critical error jumping into a super late chapter on hard mode to do some of the side quests and stuff. And it's very hard because it's on hard mode and I haven't done the rest of the game on hard. So I'm jumping into like chapter 14. That's a long chapter. And I'm like halfway through it now, but I'm realizing I don't know if I can beat it on hard. So now it's this weird like push and pull of how much time do I waste attempting to get through it all? Or do I just, you know, call it a loss and then start over from the beginning? I think I might have to do that, but I just don't want to waste the time, Bless.
No, I feel you. I definitely feel you. I've done the thing now where I've wasted time playing Final Fantasy VII Remake because I've been going back and doing all the missed side quests that I didn't do originally on my playthrough. Because I was
On hard or non-hard?
No, I'm doing them on normal, but it's one of those things where I've been realizing that the game could do a lot better in terms of telling you certain information, because I remember you said earlier that the game doesn't register what you do in a chapter. Like post beating the game, it doesn't register what you do in a chapter until you actually beat that chapter. Mm-hmm. And so I've been making it a thing to actually finish all the chapters after I do all the side quests, or as I'm doing all the side quests. But then I went to one of the chapters that have side quests in them, and when I opened up my UI, the thing didn't say, like, it didn't have the side quests in the menu because I hadn't gotten there yet. So I was like, oh, maybe this chapter doesn't have side quests. And so after I had spent like an hour in that chapter already, hopped out, went to another chapter, opened up the UI, saw that that chapter did have side quests. And I was like, sweet, I just wasted time. And I've played chapter, I want to say 9, maybe like 3 or 4 times at this point.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but, man. The post-game of this game is just, it's not ideal. I'll say that much. Imran platinumed it though.
Yeah, like
insane
90 hours or something like that, which I don't know how you do within like 2 weeks, but he made it happen.
He did, man. I'm super proud of him, man, because that some of that stuff gets real hard towards the end of the hard mode stuff. But I don't know, I'm kind of crossing my fingers for DLC. like I'm hoping that we get a couple like big meaty chunks of DLC, even if it is just like a Colosseum, a face off against bigger, stronger monsters.
Yeah, I was going to say, it couldn't be like story DLC. It would have to be like Colosseum stuff or fighting stuff, which I'd be down for. I'd be totally down for.
Or some weird alt reality stuff or whatever. Like if it was just like here's some shit that clearly didn't happen, but, you know.
Yeah.
It's fucking weird.
Let's make Barrett the main character. Yeah, like that. Exactly. Barrett's quest. Yeah.
Barrett's quest.
Tim, we're going to continue talking about Final Fantasy VII today, because today's stories include an RE4 remake TBD, RE3 remake shipping 2M, and FF7 remake FTW, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Thank you. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Or listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free along with the exclusive daily post show. Now it's time for some housekeeping. We have cool friends featuring Genevieve Saint-Ange, or should I say Genevieve Saint-Ange, is live right after this. You can watch that on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, youtube.com/kindoffunny, or you can listen later on the We Have Cool Friends podcast feed. That's gonna be Greg interviewing Jen, I believe. It might be Nick.
It's Greg.
Okay, it's Greg.
As far as I know, it's Greg.
It'd be funny if it was Nick.
I believe it's Greg. And also her name probably is Greg. Genevieve Saint-Ange Miller.
Genevieve Saint-Ange Miller. Is that right?
Oui. Mm-hmm.
We. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Muhammad Muhammad, Owl Tribesman, and Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by Hims and Quip, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have 5 stories today.
A Baker's Dozen!
Starting with number 1. Is Resident Evil 4 Remake happening? I'm pulling this from Andy Robinson at Video Games Chronicle, who writes, Capcom has greenlit a Resident Evil 4 remake. Following its reimaginings of Resident Evil 2 and 3, multiple development sources have told VGC that the Resident Evil 4 remake has now entered full production with an estimated release window of 2022. Development is being led by Osaka-based M2, the new studio founded by former Platinum Games head Tatsuya Minami, which has been preparing for the project since 2018. However, similar to 2020's Resident Evil 3, was directed by company Redworks, Capcom's internal teams and other external studios are likely to lend significant development resources. And then an update to the article, more alleged details have emerged on Capcom's Resident Evil 4 remake project, including claims it will be co-developed by parts of RE2 and Devil May Cry 5 team. The article continues, it's understood that the remake has the blessing of original game director Shinji Mikami, who officially declined an approach to lead the project himself, but has provided informal advice on its direction. The studio helming the remake has been in operation since 2018 and is comprised of many former Platinum and Capcom employees. According to info provided by reliable insider Dusk Golem and verified by VGC, Resident Evil 8 will release on current and next-gen consoles in 2021. Like Resident Evil 7, the 2021 game will feature a first-person perspective and returning protagonist Ethan Winters. Tim, are you ready for Resident Evil 4 remake?
I don't know that I am, but I'm excited for this. I'm a little shocked that they're jumping straight to 4 because Code Veronica, I feel like, would have been the more logical next step in terms of the stories they've been building with the remakes. But I am very excited that it seems like we're about to be getting annualized Resident Evil to hopefully the quality of the last three that we got in the form of 7, 2, and 3. Mm-hmm. I got a lot of shit in the comments for our review of Resident Evil 3 because it sounded like I was contradicting myself because I was saying that like this game is really short and I want more of it, but I don't want more in this game. And what I meant by that was, like, I want this type of experience once a year. I'm happy with that. I didn't need more padding and more things just to make the game longer and feel like it was a beefier experience. Resident Evil 3 was what it was. The bigger question there for me is it worth $60? And I think that is a more important conversation than is the game quality. I think the game's very high quality. It's just, you know, a short experience.
Yeah, and I think for me, when we talk about the annualization of Resident Evil, that does, RE3 to me is kind of a red flag. Because, like you said, the game is quality. Like, the game looks beautiful. The game runs well, for the most part, even though I think it has issues on Xbox One, if I recall correctly.
They seem to be fixed now through patches.
They seem to be fixed now. But my main issue with Resident Evil 3 was it didn't really seem like a step forward from Resident Evil 2. Like, it seemed almost like it took the same template of Resident Evil 2 in terms of what the jump scares were, what the puzzle solutions were, what the weapons you were getting were, it seemed like it was Resident Evil 2 remixed as opposed to feeling like a new game or something that felt like a step forward. Like, the main thing that felt different was the characters and the story, which were cool. But if I'm going to get more of that, then I kind of wouldn't want it to be annualized. That's kind of where I stand. That said, knowing that Resident Evil 4 is a beloved game and knowing how different Resident Evil 4 is from Resident Evil 2 and Resident Evil 3, like, Resident Evil 4, you're not even fighting zombies, really. You're fighting villagers that are, like, in a cult, I believe, or gone crazy. Mm-hmm. And you have, like, a new character. Like, what's his name?
Leon from 2.
Oh, Leon's from 2.
All right. So the main character from RE2, you're playing as in 4.
I somehow never put that together.
Oh, really? Yeah, because I mean, you haven't played 4, right? Or at least not all the way through.
I hadn't played 4 all the way through, so I kind of escaped from my memory. But
That's my thing here is, like, I feel like, and again, I know that it might not be the most popular thing, but this goes back to me when Uncharted Lost Legacy came out. Like, I was even saying then, I'd be down for that every year. And I feel like even when that came out, a lot of people were already burned out on Uncharted. It was so soon after 4 that people were kind of like, like, take some time off. We don't need this much. But it's like, I like these, like, kind of popcorn flick gaming experiences, like, that are on a AAA level where I'm okay with it being shorter if it is as action-packed and thrilling as a blockbuster movie is for me to watch. And I'd be okay watching an MCU movie every 4 months. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'd love an Uncharted game every year that is, you know, it doesn't need to be 16 hours. It could be 7 hours and I'd be fine with that. Resident Evil, I do think, is a little bit different because we're talking about even shorter times than that. But that's because it's being remade off of super old games. At what point does that kind of break the trend and break the mold? Because we have RE8 next year. So I think that could be interesting. But I think they've been building this world of refamiliarizing or familiarizing for the first time people with the characters of Claire and Leon and Jill. Mm-hmm. And they made changes in three that I'm excited for, where Jill's character is different and seems to be going a different direction than where the franchise has previously taken her. And I'm excited to see where they go with the franchise, because I think that they could eventually make a sequel that feels more like what you are kind of describing wanting RE3 to be, but I don't think it ever could have been, because it, at the end of the day, was a remake of a game that isn't the most beloved, right? Mm-hmm. But take those characters, take the elements that work, and create a new game in that vein, in that style. I'm excited for that, but I do think we're a couple years away from that. Resident Evil 4 is crazy to me, because that's the big dog. That's a game that some people hail as their favorite game of all time, the best game of all time. So it's a big thing to remake that, but all the names that they're listing here seem to be the right calls. Like approaching Mikami, and he doesn't want to be a part of it or doesn't want to head it, but at least they did that. That's the right call. Him kind of consulting on it, that's the right call. This M2 group, I imagine that they're going to be putting out some really high quality stuff, given their pedigree. And add on top of that, people working on it from the RE2 and Devil May Cry 5 team, AKA two of my favorite games last year. Like, I think that they are the right team to be making this project. And I think that we've gotten proof in the last 2 years, whether it's the Resident Evil games or Final Fantasy VII, that remakes can really, really work, even for fantastic games.
Yeah, and that's the one thing I'm kind of holding on to for RE4 is the fact that, like, RE2 and RE3 are quality games, and RE4, it being so beloved, and it being a game that I know people have, like, a lot of mixed feelings on whether or not it's aged well or not. I'm definitely in the camp that, like, I don't think that game is aged well. As somebody who came to that game late, like, I found that game hard to control in many ways. That game, and I think there are many things you can do to make that game, I guess, pop in 2020 or 2022 when this game is supposedly going to come out, right? Like, you can make better graphics for it. You can make it control similarly to RE2 and RE3 remake, right? Which would probably be a step up, or even if you want to make it like that, but even make it more action focused, since I know RE4 was more actiony than the previous games. Like, you can go with that. You can make the world feel bigger. Like, that's what I want from an RE4 remake, is way more than what we got from RE3, which I don't like. That's, like, my main concern is, like, how, like, what is it, what does this look like scope wise because I do want them to go all the way. Like, I want them to really make this game feel fresh and new in the way that playing RE2 remake for the first time, that game felt fresh and new. And I think, like, RE4 remake coming 2 years after RE3 remake as opposed to a year after is good, right? They are making it seems like they are making RE8 for next year. But you imagine that, like, yeah, RE8, that coming off of that being more of a sequel to RE7 than being associated with these RE remakes, really, like, makes it feel different enough to where you can have time with RE4 remake and make that its own thing and make it feel more fresh and more new and more bigger scope wise.
Yeah, man, it's going to be interesting, because I feel that Resident Evil 4 is one of those things. You were saying that people are split. I think that you are the only person I've ever heard be not in love with RE4. I'm not saying that people don't exist. I just haven't talked to them. You're the first person that, like, I don't think there's, like, a big divide there. And obviously older games are a little bit different, but I would say that the majority of people would say Resident Evil 4 holds up.
I don't know if that's true.
Really? Majority. Yeah. All I'm saying is majority.
I mean, I've seen multiple people, and I think it's a thing of, if you played RE4 at the time, coming back to it is probably way easier. Mm-hmm. But I think if you came to anybody who I've seen that has come to RE4 way after the fact has been on the, I've seen those people be on the side of, like, this game doesn't hold up. Like, this game is hard to control. This game feels old. The tank controls don't feel good. Like, the not being able to move while shooting doesn't feel good.
That I'm interested in the remake, because so much of what you just said is part of the experience and the atmosphere of that game, and making it easier to control action wise, I feel takes away from the point of that game. And I feel like with Resident Evil 2, that was the case as well, but they made up for that by making it feel even more claustrophobic and really focusing on the hallways and camera angles and that type of experience. And I think it's a much more daunting task to figure out what elements are the core of the RE4 experience that you can expand on in a modern way that doesn't alienate one group or the other, whether it's new players or RE4 lovers. And I think that Final Fantasy VII is an interesting example of, for the most part, and I'm not talking about story beats, I'm talking about gameplay wise, when people were talking about remaking it, so many people were up in arms, were like, how are you going to not have it be turn-based? Like, this is not a remake of the game. And they were always talking about it's a reimagining, they're trying to do things differently. But I think that at the end of the day, when the game's out now, I think that it really is a faithful transition of the ideas from Final Fantasy VII, just battle mechanics wise, modernized into a way that feels a bit more, you know,
yeah, like it translates well for it. Yeah,
and I want that for RE4.
So Frank Furter writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames just like you can and says, good morning, blessing and Tim. Resident Evil 4 looks like it's next up for the remake treatment, according to rumors and leaks from this weekend. This one, though, is scheduled for a 2022 release. I have a few questions in regard to this topic. One, is Resident Evil going to release games yearly going forward with RE2 last year, RE3 this year, RE8 next year, and 4 in 2022? Two, will RE4 remake, if released in 2022, be on both current and next-gen consoles, or just next-gen? And then three, is giving the developer until 2022 to work on RE4, which seems like more time than the other remakes, due to Capcom wanting to release 8 in between remake releases, or is it because they need more time to make sure they nail the game down so they don't have a lynch mob after them if it turns bad? Thanks for all you do, Frank Furter. Tim, you're the RE expert in the room.
Well, starting at number three, I think that, yeah, they know that RE4 is the big one. It's the one that they, more than anything, can't fuck up. And, you know, before this, I would even say it was RE2. It was a very lofty thing for them to say they were going to remake the RE2 with the infamous We Do It t-shirt. But for that to actually come into reality and be an amazing project that people love, I think that shows that it's in very capable hands. I do think that they know that those capable hands need to really make some magic and not fuck up RE4, because that is, they have such goodwill right now with RE. Even with 3 right now kind of like being a bit little less like hot than 2 was, like it's not a misstep. And I think that Resident Evil's had so many missteps in its decades of existence that they don't want to lose that momentum. And I think that they know that leading into 4 needs to be something special. I do think that that's why that it's coming out later. I also imagine that there might be a little bit of strategy in putting 8 out before we keep going down this remake line. I think that's for a couple different reasons. One, I think that it's been a while since we got a new Resident Evil game. So since 7. So, you know, it's a due time for 8 to come. But I'm also interested in seeing what if, with all the rumors of Resident Evil 8 being called Resident Evil Village, with the 8 kind of highlighted. Have you seen this?
No.
The VII in Village.
Oh, it's like, that'd so
that's
be smart.
Like, that's yeah. What the rumors are right now, and that it's going to be like pretty different than other Resident Evil games. Like Village, what's the last time we've heard Village and Resident Evil together? Resident Evil 4, right? Yeah. Like it'd be interesting if they kind of like build some elements that to players that are playing 8 and 4 for the first time, year after year, there's some type of cohesion storytelling wise, right? That could be cool.
For sure. And then what about in regards to the game coming out for both current gen and next gen? Or do you think it'll probably be next gen exclusive?
RE4 will be next gen, pure next gen. RE8.
I know the story mentioned RE8 being cross gen.
Yeah, I think that
which I'm inclined to believe.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Kev, thank you for bringing that up. Again, total just bullshit ass mock up stuff, but yeah. that makes sense.
If it was called Resident Evil Village, that would for sure be the treatment they got.
Because Resident Evil 7 did the same thing. Yeah.
What was RE7? Was that
Biohazard? And then the same thing. Kev, can you look up RE7's logo?
Yeah, because I remember seeing that at E3 and being like, oh, these clever ducks. Look what they did here.
Yeah, look at them. And then the first question is Resident Evil going to release games annually going forward? I don't think so. I just think that we got lucky here. It was just an evil.
I mean, it wasn't the evil. That makes sense. But like, I mean, what, since 2017 has been annual? And if these rumors are true, that's like 5 years.
Not since 2017. Since 2018, right? Oh, wait.
Resident Evil 7 came out in...
No, just since
2018.
No, it didn't.
Oh.
Monster Hunter World came out that year.
That's what it was. So RE7 came out 2017, took a year off, and then RE2 remake, then RE3 remake.
Okay, yes.
Cool.
19 and then 20. Yeah. So, I mean, it's still, we're definitely getting a lot of Resident Evil, main core Resident Evil. Like, for so long, we were just getting the Revelations games, which were spinoffs and, you know, spinoffs kind of in the way Kingdom Hearts have spinoffs, where they are core games. Like, they are real Resident Evil games, and there's real character development and storylines happening. But, yeah, I don't know. I just don't think, I wouldn't be surprised if in 2023 we don't get a new one. And again, them jumping to RE4, skipping, remaking one, remaking zero, remaking Code Veronica. I think that there's a plan, man. And I really think that there's a reason that they're not calling these Resident Evil 2 remake. It's just Resident Evil 2. They're building a new canon here.
Yeah, I think they have an interesting opportunity, though. Like, in terms of the annualization thing, like, I'm with you that I'm not in the place where I'm like 100% we're gonna see a Resident Evil in 2023. But like, I think in terms of where Resident Evil is at and the history of Resident Evil, like, you know, you brought up Code Veronica towards the beginning of this conversation, right? Like, that's an option for them. I know there are like spinoffs and multiplayer games that they could go for. I know, like, multiplayer Resident Evil,
you know,
multiplayer is definitely like a thing that has a not the greatest of histories, from what I've seen. But like, you know, maybe they do like a what's the multiplayer mode called in RE3?
Resistance.
Like, Resistance. Yeah, like, they could maybe do Resistance 2 in 2023. Like, they could
fight that. You know what? I'd rather dude, give me Onimusha. Give me Dino Crisis. Yeah. Like, remake some similar games. But I don't know. Resident Evil is such a household brand, and I think that you know, it's more popular than ever now, as we're about to get to in the next couple stories.
For sure. Let's get to that next story. Number two, Resident Evil 3 remake ships 2 million in 5 days. I'm pulling this from Brendan Sinclair at GameIndustry.biz. The Resident Evil 3 remake shipped more than 2 million copies in its first 5 days after release, Capcom announced today. The publisher said nearly half of the Xbox One, PS4, and PC game sales have come digitally. The reimagined Resident Evil 3 is off to a slower start than last year's Resident Evil 2 remake, which shipped 3 million within its first 5 days on sale. However, the difference in launch shipments between the two games nearly replicates the sales ratio between their original PlayStation inspirations. 1998's Resident Evil 2 cumulatively sold 4.96 million copies, while 1999's Resident Evil 3 Nemesis sold a total of 3.5 million units. The Resident Evil 2 remake has now shipped more than 6.5 million units. Tim.
Crazy, man. Those numbers are insane. Like, it's crazy that it's again more popular than ever. Like, they're really hitting. And these numbers, keep in mind, during the coronavirus times. Like,
yeah.
That and the 50% digital, that's interesting. You know, like, that's a big percentage, and they're talking for about sure. It. I feel like a lot of times, you know, publishers kind of stay away from really getting into the nitty gritty of the physical versus digital for a variety of reasons. One of which being the, you know, trying to placate and keep the physical media places happy, the brick and mortar stores, and, you know, even Amazon and things like that that are physical delivery platforms. But this. There's a shift occurring. It's been happening for the last 10 years. And I think that the events that are happening right now are going to just push that along even more.
Do you think things stay like this in terms of what the digital sales are versus physical sales for games? Because right now we are seeing digital sales going up. Do you think that then makes people go like, oh, why have I been buying physical this whole time when it's just so much easier to just buy digital?
Yeah, man, it's not going to be a overnight switch of everybody doing it, but I do think that this is it's another nail in the coffin for physical media, where it's just one more push of it's an education process. Once people realize what they can be doing, they're going to be totally fine with it. I remember when I was scared to use Uber just because I was like, oh, it's an app. I pulled a full Andy Cortez where it's like, oh, there's this thing that everyone talks about being really easy to do, but I've never done it, so I don't know. And I feel like it's the same thing with digital media, where it's like, oh, I need to like make an account, do all this stuff, whatever. But then it's like, once you do it and you're like, I can just get games without leaving my house. I can just pre-order, it's just there. And the moment it's available, it's ready. I don't need to wait for shipping. Don't need to go to a store or whatever. I think that is going to get a lot of people that haven't used this service before using it. But it's going to be real interesting to see like how many games keep coming out this year. Like I know last week, at the end of the week, Cyberpunk reiterated that they are going to hit the date. That's, you know, I believe them at this point. Anything can change. But, you know, we have Resident Evil 3. We have Final Fantasy 7. Are we going to get a major game until Cyberpunk? Does Avengers get delayed again? I don't know.
The big one for me is still like Ghost of Tsushima. Like that one, that's one that I'm on the side of that is probably going to get delayed. But the closer and closer we get to it, and the more and more I think about it, and the more and more I think about the fact that they just didn't lump in Ghost of Tsushima with the Iron Man VR and Last was delayed, makes me think that like maybe they're seeing something different in terms of like maybe they would be fine with a digital only release. I don't know. But
see, my thing is, I think the fact that they very clearly with the Iron Man and Last of Us news said, stay tuned, more things might happen. I think them very clearly saying Ghost of Tsushima is probably going to get delayed. It would be crazy for them to take that hit on a project that big. You know, it's not like it's make or break for Sucker Punch, but I do think that it's, you know, the make or break of them being seen and regarded as top tier Sony talent in the way that Guerrilla rose with Horizon, you know?
For sure. Yeah. excuse me. But yeah, I think when I think of what Iron Man VR and Last of Us specifically, right? Last of Us 2 is going to be PlayStation's biggest game of this generation, one of the biggest games of this generation. Iron Man VR, it being as a physical product, I think is pretty important because that is meant to sell VR units, and if people can't go to the store and pick up VR or try it out or do all these different things, then like it's like what's the point of even putting this game out right now? Whereas Ghost of Tsushima, I don't see being as like, it's going to be a huge game for sure, but I don't think it's going to be Last of Us or God of War, Spider-Man level. And so I wonder how that then plays into that whole conversation of them being like, all right, Last of Us and Iron Man VR, we're dealing these games indefinitely. We're not even going to put a year on these. We're just saying indefinite because we don't want to make any commitments when everything's up in the air right now. For Ghost of Tsushima, I'm with you on everything you had to say about it as far as it being like it's still being a big game, as far as them opening up the door or leaving that door open and saying like, yeah, things could still change with our upcoming titles, but I still do wonder if there's something different about Ghost of Tsushima in terms of how they're treating it right now and how it could, the ways in which it could still come out that can keep it from being delayed. But
I mean, my thing is, I think you're right. I don't think it's going to be Last of Us, God of War, Spider-Man levels, but I do think that their goal is for it to be Horizon levels.
Oh yeah.
You know,
I can see that.
And it's like that. And even then, like looking at the numbers, it's like Horizon is very, very, very popular. It's also crossed 10 million.
Oh yeah.
So yeah. Like that's a mega hit. And like, but that's kind of what the PlayStation first parties have done.
Let's keep on this same sales train, Tim. Story number three. That Final Fantasy VII remake really do be selling in the UK. I'm pulling this from Chris Fridring at gamesindustry.biz. Also, shout out to gamesindustry.biz. I got a lot of my stories today from them, and so shout out to them for keeping us informed. Final Fantasy VII Remake was the best-selling box game in the UK last week. The anticipated RPG sold half of the last major game in the franchise, Final Fantasy XV, which arrived at the start of December in 2016. Final Fantasy VII Remake has suffered from severe distribution challenges caused by the coronavirus crisis, with physical game sales, with physical game stores closed throughout the UK due to a government-imposed lockdown. It's also ill-advised to compare sales for a game released in April with one launched during the Christmas sales window. The Square Enix title did manage to sell double the launch sales of last week's classic PlayStation remake, Capcom's Resident Evil 3. Although high street shops are closed, the number of boxed video games grew again last week by 2%. Since the start of the lockdown in the UK, over 1 million boxed copies have been sold, and if you include the week before, which featured the launch of Animal Crossing New Horizon on Nintendo Switch, that number jumps to 1.5 million. These are the sorts of sales figures you would typically expect to see in the build-up to Christmas. The number of physical games sold in the UK so far this year is up by over 3% year-on-year, a drastic change from just a few weeks ago by more than 20%. And then, Tim, I have the top 10 game sales for the week ending in April 11th in the UK. This comes from GFK. At number 10 is Last of Us Remastered. Number 9, Grand Theft Auto 5. Number 8, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. And number 7, Resident Evil 3. And number 6, Forza Horizon 4. And number 5, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. And number 4, FIFA 20. Number 3, Animal Crossing New Horizons. And number 2, Call of Duty Modern Warfare. And number 1, Final Fantasy VII Remake. Tim, does all that sit well with you?
Yes. So a bunch of interesting things to look at here. So this is obviously just the UK numbers. But from that, we can kind of extrapolate it. They're saying that it sold double what RE3 did. And granted, these numbers aren't one for one because it is just UK. Yeah. But going back to it, we know that worldwide, RE3 sold 2 million based on the last story we just did. Yep. So if those numbers were consistent, we'd be talking about 4 million copies sold.
Yeah, in that range, yeah.
Baller amounts of copies. Final Fantasy 15 to date, and this is from a couple years ago, so we don't know the actual numbers, but we're looking at about 9 million copies sold.
Today?
Yeah. So that's pretty good for a game that's only been out for a couple days, let alone only on PlayStation. That's the other thing. Final Fantasy 15 multi-plat. So these numbers to me sound really good, all things considered.
Yeah, all things considered, take all those things you just said, also pandemic in the midst, and so it's hard to get games physically. Like, with everything going on right now, I think those are really excellent sales numbers. And I'm curious to see, like, however many years from now, what the sales end up being compared to Final Fantasy 15. Because you imagine this game is going to outsell Final Fantasy 15. Right?
Yeah, man. I mean, hold on. Give me one sec. Looking at an article that was posted December 2019, so not long ago, we're looking at the sales charts for the mainline Final Fantasy games. Final Fantasy 13 is at 7.7, Final Fantasy 8 at 8.8, 15 at 8.9, 10 at 9.25, 14 at 10.9 million. Pretty surprised about that.
Yeah.
And it's, dude, you know, 14. I know, but I just didn't know that it was selling like that. I knew it had a hardcore fan base, but like that's the second best selling Final Fantasy behind Final Fantasy 7 at 19.1. Jeez, that's essentially double the rest of them.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I think 7 Remake is going to sell. It's just a matter of time. And does it come to PC? When it comes to Xbox, like, there's going to be, we're going to get Game of the Year type editions of this game probably for a very, very long time.
Yeah, we're going to get a PS5 version for sure. Like, you imagine so, because the future versions of this, or Final Fantasy VII Remake Parts 2 to 3 or whatever, are going to be PS5 games. And so, yeah, we're going to see this game sell for a while.
But I wasn't on the show when we were talking about the Cyberpunk news that was coming out. But how much of a fucking bummer is it that there's a PS5 version? That they're not also... I think so. They're not also doing the Xbox smart delivery stuff.
What do you mean? Because, like, because as I understand it, right? Oh, like, in terms of what, like, the like complete or remaster version for next gen?
Yeah,
I imagine we'll still have versions for both of them, right? Like, for both Xbox Series X, because that's their whole thing, is that for on the Xbox Series X side, they've confirmed that version exists. That version is going to come out. It's going to come out later after launch, but if you have the Xbox One version, you get the Series X version free. Whereas, I guess for PS5, I believe the thing was they're not talking about it yet. Because I assume we're waiting on features to see,
that's
like,
true,
if PS5 can have their own smart delivery.
To me, the news is leading me to believe that we're not gonna get that.
Really, I'm not there yet. I think we'll get it. I think it's just us waiting for the PS5 event and then talking about what their own smart delivery thing is, or to say they don't have one so people can speak freely.
Yeah. Ugh.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Story number 4. The ESRB is acknowledging loot boxes. I'm pulling this again from Brendan Sinclair at GamesIndustry.biz, who are putting in that work today. The ESRB today introduced a new ratings designation to indicate when a game has randomized elements among its in-game purchases. The new designation, or interactive element, as the rating board calls it, will be assigned to any title and with an in-game offer to spend real money on something when players won't know exactly what they'll receive for their money. While the move is clearly targeted at loot boxes, the phrasing is intended to cover card packs, prize wheels, and other such mechanics. This is the ESRB's second time adapting a system due to criticism of loot boxes and other randomized monetization. The group's first attempt to address concerns came a little over 2 years ago when it introduced a designation that a game features in-game purchases. The ESRB said in its announcement that this second move has been made primarily in response to feedback from players, not from parents. Quote, according to research, parents are far more concerned about their child's ability to spend real money in games than the fact that those in-game purchases may be randomized, the group said. This data helped to inform the introduction of the in-game purchases interactive element. That being said, since adding the in-game purchases notice to ratings assigned to physical games, many game consumers and enthusiasts, not necessarily parents, have reached out to us asking the ESRB to include additional information to identify games that include randomized purchases. Tim, this seems like a good move from the ESRB.
It does. Yeah, it definitely does. I mean, again, it's an ongoing kind of chain of events that we've had with when it comes to DLC, when it comes to microtransactions, loot boxes, all this stuff. And the ESRB just needs to, you know, keep adapting, keep changing to make sure they're staying up to date and doing their job, which is, you know, protecting children.
Keeping people honest. Yeah, protecting children, protecting or informing parents of what they're getting their children.
Yeah, that type totally. Of thing. This does all sound like good stuff.
Yeah, this all sounds like good stuff. I find that tidbit interesting that it's not necessarily parents that are asking for the loot box like notification on the box, right? It's more so players being like, we want to know. I bet it's just more so like the thing of like, or I think collectively everybody has that worry of, yeah, this is enabling gambling. Yeah. And or this is enabling like the same feelings you'd get from gambling, right? Being able to pay for something and not knowing what you're going to get. And so like it doesn't necessarily surprise me that parents don't really care as much. Like parent, like I can see easily like the parent that's like, yeah, I don't care if it's like a loot box or whatever. I just want to know if my kid's spending money, because I don't like that. I don't like if my kid has access to my credit card to pay for things.
Yeah.
But either way, like I think it's a good designation to allow people to know that a game has in-game purchases. And I think that might even help, like that might even affect how companies go about like freely putting in loot boxes. Like when you totally. Know that stuff is on the box, you're probably going to think twice about whether or not you want to implement that thing.
It's the little things, man. They all add up.
It's the little things. Last story, number 5, is Crysis making a return? I'm pulling this from Liam Croft at Push Square. After going silent for 3.5 years, the official Twitter account for the Crysis series has suddenly sprung into life. It put out a tweet saying, quote, receiving data. Does EA plan to reboot the franchise or bring it back in some way? We think so. The first-person shooter series has been seen since the third iteration released on the PS3 back in early 2013, which begs the question of whether or not... Yeah, it's been that long. Wow. Which begs the question of whether or not the California-based publisher is simply planning on remastering the games, which already exist, or bringing it back with an all-new game. Now, Tim, this news broke this morning. I saw the tweet this morning, and after that happened, I decided to do some research. And so I did the research.
Bless went digging.
I went digging, and let me tell you, man, I found some things. So 1 week ago, a Crysis remastered site was put up as an April Fool's joke, but it hadn't been taken down for a while. I'm pulling this from Michael Herodance at PlayStation Universe, who writes, April Fool's Day has come and gone with, and he wrote this a week ago, April Fool's Day has come and gone with Crytek apparently getting on the action by teasing a potential Crysis remastered on its official website. In case you missed it, the site featured an image of Nomad, one of the characters seen in the first Crysis, suggesting that it could be receiving an overhaul soon. The fact that it was uploaded on April Fool's was a bit of a giveaway, and sure enough, after digging around in the source code, it was discovered that it was Crytek simply having a bit of fun. Still, there's a small chance that something could be in the works. Let's look at a few things. Firstly, Electronic Arts, who published Crysis, has already said that it's working on some fan-favorite remastered titles, and Crysis, along with Mass Effect, will certainly fit the bill. With that in mind, we can't rule anything out just yet. One of these remasters is obviously the Command & Conquer Remastered Collection, but it said remasters with an S at the end, remasters, during the earnings call, so presumably more are coming. Next, it's worth remembering that some companies do actually announce legit titles on April Fool's. Furthermore, the Crysis website is still live and displays the remaster teaser. Surely it would have been taken down by now. And then, in late March, there was a YouTube video, which, Kevin, I didn't prep you on this, but I have it in the doc. If you're able to pull up this YouTube video. There's a YouTube video. The video is titled...
You won't be able to hear it.
I won't be... Okay, that's fine. I don't need to hear it. The video is titled Never Stop Achieving CryEngine Showcase 2020 Games of the Decade. And it's them going through all the games that have used CryEngine within the last decade. If you fast forward to the end of the video, because it's like the whole video is just a montage of different games. If you fast forward to like the end of the video, you have a clip, and I'm trying to mute it on my end because I have the video open for myself so I can look through. But it's a clip of Crysis. I believe this is the original Crysis. And it looks up-rezzed. It looks beautiful.
It really does. Up-rezzed.
Yeah. And so people were speculating that might be footage from a Crysis remastered.
Interesting.
But who knows? Tim, does this strike you as believable? Do you believe that we have a new Crysis incoming?
Wait, based off this information? Isn't Crysis the game that Linus Tech Tip always tests graphics cards on?
And probably
when they do that, it looks really pretty always, right? Like really pretty.
Crysis was definitely a graphical powerhouse
showcase when it came title.
And it was one of those things where people would I believe it didn't really run well on like most PCs.
On any PC, really. It was like a benchmark for, it was like a joke forever of like, you needed the power of the sun to be able to run the game on high. But then eventually, as time caught up with it eventually ran. But still, Crysis was always kind of one of the benchmark graphical titles.
Yes. And so, and for the gameplay we just saw, right, like, I don't want to speak out of term. I'm not a PC gamer. I could just be like out left field, not knowing anything. But I couldn't imagine that gameplay we just saw from the end of the trailer could be like the original Crysis without like some sort of like remastering. That shit looked fire.
I mean, I think it could.
Did it look that good?
Well, I mean, yeah, the game was beautiful, but I just feel like, with like new technology and ray tracing and stuff, like it can do wonders to what games look like. But I don't think that those things are mutually exclusive. I think what we saw there and the way that they end with that, that's saying something. Like,
for sure.
I feel like even if it was just a new version of the game that kind of like enhances elements and stuff, I feel like the idea of remastering, especially on PC, is weird. Because PCs already kind of inherently have the ability to be better.
Up the sliders.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. So we'll see. But there's a lot of evidence here, man. Your digging, I think, has convinced me more so than anything. The tweet coming out today, those type of tweets are always like a weird-ass thing where it's like, I'm going to look at Batman, the Arkham situation. It's like, all right, cool. You tweeted something. What's that actually mean? It's been a year.
Yeah, I'm very excited to see what this Crysis tweet means. But a Crysis announcement, likely, so far away. If I want to know what's coming out to mom and grop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, yeah. Out today, we got Digital Dungeon Tiles for PC, A Siren's Call for PC, Slash Roll for PC, Bird Missions for PC, Marshmallow Tank for PC, Chess Cake for PC, Farm Tale for PC, Fire for Effect for PC, and then Super Astrius 2 for PC. Now it's time for Reader Mail. You can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Hims. You've heard us talking about Hims and how they're helping guys look their best. If you haven't, it's time to see what they're all about. 66% of men start to lose their hair by age 35. Once you've noticed thinning hair, it can be too late. The best way to prevent more hair loss is to do something about it while you still have some. ForHims.com is a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness for men. It's time to write a new chapter, one in which you have hair. Kinda Funny's own Nick and Andy can attest that they're looking and feeling great due to Hims's hair loss, skincare, and sexual awareness solution for or sexual wellness solution for men. And I can confirm, I've seen Nick and Andy around the office. In fact, I can tell you right now, I miss seeing them around because, man, they have such great hair, such great skin.
Both of them.
I wish I could look like them. They're some beautiful, beautiful boys. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims is helping guys be the best version of themselves with licensed physicians and FDA-approved products to help treat hair loss. For Hims connects you to a real doctor online, which can save you hours, completely confidential and discreet. Answer a few quick questions a doctor will review, and if they determine it's right for you, can prescribe you medication to treat hair loss that is shipped directly to your door. Right now, our listeners can get started with their first month for free. Go to forhims.com/gamesdaily. That's forhims.com/gamesdaily. Prescription requires an online consultation with a physician who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. This offer is valid only if prescribed. 3-month minimum subscription. Additional restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information. Remember, that's forhims.com/gamesdaily. We're also brought to you by Quip. Quip, makers of the Quip electric toothbrush, wants you to know the one single discovery that matters most for your dental care. It's simply this, that if you have good habits, you're good. That means brushing for 2 minutes twice a day, flossing regularly, no matter what brand you use. Quip makes that simple, starting with an electric toothbrush, refillable floss, and anti-cavity toothpaste. Quip's electric brush has sensitive sonic vibrations with a built-in timer and 30-second pulses to guide a full, even clean. The Quip floss dispenser comes with pre-marked string to help you use just enough. Plus, Quip delivers fresh brush head, floss, and toothpaste refills to your door every 3 months with free shipping, so your routine is always right. Join over 3 million healthy mouths and get Quip today, starting at $25. And if you go to getquip.com/games right now, you'll get your first refill free. That's your first refill free at getquip.com/games, spelt GETQUIP.com/games. Quip, the good habits company. Jamie S. writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can, and says, good morning, Blessing and Tim. My question today is about gaming guides and walkthroughs. Playing Final Fantasy VII Remake this weekend, I realized I was struggling to let myself go more than an hour of playtime without checking a guide to ensure I wasn't missing anything. I realized that I don't remember the last game I played without referencing a guide or walkthrough to be sure I was getting the best experience possible. To be clear, I'm not necessarily using them because I have to, but mostly out of FOMO, not wanting to miss any interesting collectibles, quests, or moments, and wanting to make sure I'm playing the game the optimal way with combat guides, etc. What are your thoughts on game guide usage? Do either of you use guides / walkthroughs regularly? And if so, what do you use them for? Am I ruining games by rarely experiencing them on my own? I'm thinking about going cold turkey. I have a dry mouth today. On Final Fantasy VII Remake and trying to play the rest of the game without referencing a guide. Is this a good game to try this on, or am I better served using a guide to have the right experience? Thanks for your time and your thoughts. Tim.
This kind of goes back to the easy mode conversation that has been coming up a lot recently, where it's like, hey, if that's how you enjoy playing games, wrong with it. Go for it and enjoy it that way. I would say Final Fantasy VII Remake is a good game to try to play without referencing a guide. There are very few things that you'll miss, because as we've talked about many times now in our reviews and different discussions we've had about the game, there's not many collectibles and like things around the map. Like, it's pretty linear, so I don't think you're going to miss out on anything by not looking at a guide. In terms of my type of experience with guides, I don't always use them, but I have no shame in using them. If I like to try to play games without
it seems like they have frozen, so I'm gonna disconnect from the call. Sorry guys, give me 1 second. And then reconnect.
See, fun. That's it. Yep. It looks like, what's the point of me playing games? You know?
Hey, it looks... Tim.
Hello? Tim, can you hear Kevin?
No, Tim is gone.
Kevin, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Tim.
Okay. Tim somehow disappeared, but kept. So this
gonna,
is weird.
I'm going to jump in. I'm going to jump out.
Gotcha.
Okay. Just one more. Well, I guess no. It's because Tim needs to reconnect, which I think is happening right now. Hey, Tom.
This is so weird because Tim is going for me.
Yeah, it was weird. It looked like Kevin disconnected for me.
Something happened.
So both of you guys, I kept hearing both of you guys, which is a weird thing.
Both of us.
So I don't know what, both of you guys were good for me.
Oh, Discord's having a hard day.
Yeah, it looked like Kev disconnected and then everyone froze. So then I disconnected manually and came back in, and then you're here.
You both froze and I reconnected.
Interesting.
Cool. Well, what I was saying is once games stop being fun for me, that's like why I play games. So I'll look to a guide if I need to get past something that is frustrating me to the point of disliking it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's kind of a similar thing for me too. Like, I tend to not use guides for the most part. I kind of like the experience of going into a game blind and being able to just have my own experience with it, you know, regardless of if I'm missing collectibles or not finding the secret paths or anything. Like, I'm fine with that. In fact, I think that even kind of enhances the experience for myself of like not like finding a secret path, you know, without the help of anything else. You know, that kind of gives me that feeling of gratification of like, oh yeah, like I took a different direction, or I did a thing and now I'm being rewarded for it. Like, that's kind of where a lot of my enjoyment comes from. But if I get stuck, like I'll use a guide. Like, there are certain games where I refuse and certain games where I'm like, who cares? Like The Witness, when I played The Witness, which like is very much a game that is all about you solving puzzles and all about you like sitting and struggling and getting through a thing, I refused to use a guide for that game. You know, I wanted to get through that game all like with my own brain power. And granted, I never finished that game because I got to the very end. I got to the very last level and it was just too difficult. And I was just like, I don't have the patience for this and I don't want to look up a guide. And so I just never finished it because of that reason. But that's still like, that was still overall a satisfying experience for me. But like Bloodborne, I've been using some guides. Mostly I've actually been having friends help me out. Like, I'll ask for advice or ask friends to like point me in the right direction. But it's mostly game by game for me. However, like, if using guides enhances your experience with a game, then like go for it. Like, who cares? Like, if that's the way you're experiencing like the optimal level of enjoyment out of whatever you're playing or experiencing, then like, you know, that's the way you should do it. Like, there's not really a right way to enjoy video games. You know, just go about them however you want to.
Do you, boo boo?
And do you, boo boo? I will say, So Persona 4 Golden is one of my favorite games. Not even one of my favorite games. It's like my second favorite game of all time is what I'll say, behind Breath of the Wild. I absolutely love Persona 4 Golden. Persona 5, I also absolutely love. My main issue with the Persona games is it feels like if you don't use a guide to play those games, you're losing out on a big portion of the experience because of how those games are structured and tailored. Everything being like a daily sort of thing. Like, you having like a number of activities to go about during a day, and being able to like miss out on a lot of things by not doing things in the right order in the right way, I feel like takes away quite a bit out of the way I like to experience a video game. And that's like my one pet peeve when it comes to like guides or walkthroughs and how they interact with video games, is knowing that there's a perfect way to play a game and knowing that my way of playing a game is, or my way of playing a game coming in fresh is not the optimal way, kind of like throws me off a bit. But overall, that's kind of like my feelings on guides.
You know, thinking about this, one thing that I do actually like doing that I feel is you know, a bit counter to what we were both talking about only using it when you get stuck. I feel like there's been a trend in the last couple of years of sites like IGN putting out like 7 tips for before you play whatever game. And I enjoy reading those before I get into a game. I rarely can, because normally we're playing them for review or whatever. But so we're getting it before these articles are posted. But I like, you know, not a walkthrough of like how to do stuff, but more of like a keep your eye out for this, you know, or like,
kind of thing.
Yeah, like, hey, make sure you're like, don't forget your items or like whatever. It's like things like that. I'm like, oh, it just kind of puts me in the right framework that I like. I love being able to play video games however you want to play them. But I do find that I'm the type of person that I tend to enjoy playing the game the way that the developers want me to play it.
Yeah.
So I get more out of it when I feel like I am using all of the systems correctly, not just kind of like, I'm just going to attack the entire time. It's like, no, I should get good at magic. I should get good at, you know, whatever the other stuff is, or else every game just starts to feel the same.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. There are certain elements of the combat system in Final Fantasy VII Remake, for example, that like I didn't get until like the second half of the game. Like, I didn't really use the materia system at like full capacity. Like, I didn't really like get everything out of it that I needed to until the second half of the game in a way where I was like, man, I wish I realized this, right? That's mm-hmm. why I do love the videos that are like, five things X game didn't teach you, yep. right? Like, those are the videos I love, right? So I could go in there and not feel like I am having my hand held the whole way throughout, but also like feeling like I'm set up for success. For
yeah,
sure,
totally.
Is what I want to get out. Now it's time to squad up. You can write in at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. And if you write in with a squad up, you can play games with other gamers. It's great. It's awesome. JE writes in with a interesting squad up here. You can squad up with JE on podcast platforms. JE writes, hey, Blessing and Tim, I know you normally don't do self-promotions here, but a fellow KFBF, Alex, and I have been doing a podcast together with little to no listeners. Regardless, we're proud of our show and are quickly approaching our 100th episode next Friday. Our show, We Are Not Game Devs, normally is a brainstorming podcast where we create a video game that doesn't exist. But for this milestone, I decided to create a video game soundtrack to a game that doesn't exist. And it would be awesome if the KF community could give us a listen. I'm running long, so I'll end it here. But thanks for your time. Keep being awesome. And please remember that we are not game devs. The podcast is, of course, called We Are Not Game Devs. You can look that up on your podcast service of choice. Shout out to JE. Keep doing your thing. And now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong, where you can let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong. The Nail Biologist writes in with a missed new date. Journey is coming to PC on June 11th, as confirmed by a new store page listing on Steam. So there you go. Let's see here. there's a troll here, and usually I wouldn't read trolls, but there's one that's just like, why is Tim so lame? And it's like, come on, y'all.
Come on. Try a little harder.
Well, now they're frozen again. Alright. God damn it, you know? Jump back on. You guys got frozen again. Tim said, try a little harder. I don't know if you can hear me.
Are we back?
Tim's in and out.
Oh, Tim left. Tim's back.
I'm back.
I wonder what it is. Because what happens... So this is what happens, right? Everything goes normally for me, but I hear Tim talking, and then I hear Kevin say they're both frozen, and I'm still here hearing both sides, and it's
weird because I just straight up see Kevin disconnect,
and
then you freeze, and I'm like, well, and then so I disconnect, and then I come back, and you're here.
See, now I don't. Is Kevin? Are you here? All right. Well, Kevin's not here.
I know. I'm here.
Oh, you're here? Okay, yeah. Your screen is for us is doing like the loading.
Oh, yay. I didn't share the image. Oh, look at that. It automatically kicks you out of full screen so you can share image. And then you just jump back in. That's interesting. Now you guys look frozen. Nope, you're just still. Very still.
Let's see here. Missed news item. Let me read this first. All right, that's it for You're Wrong, actually. It looks like we didn't get much wrong this episode. This week's hosts are Tuesday, it's me and Imran. Wednesday, it's Greg and Gary. Thursday, it's Greg and me. And then Friday, it's me and Greg. Of course, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the server level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, stay healthy.